My dearly beloved in Christ, this morning I would like to continue our discussion of, examination of the seven capital sins, and we continue today with the capital sin of anger. Now, we all know what anger is, although we might find it difficult to define, but we could say that it is a strong emotion where we tend to lose complete control of our emotions, excited by something that offends us. Now, as with the other capital sins, there is an underlying basic human tendency that is good, because the capital sins are a distortion or an exaggeration of a tendency that is good. And with anger, the basic human tendency is self-defense. We are inclined, we're given that by nature, instinct, part of our human nature, a defense mechanism to defend ourselves, those who may depend upon us, our possessions, and so forth. So anger is an overreaction here to something that offends us or bothers us. And we know that this virtue in particular, that is the opposite of anger, meekness or patience, were exemplified in an extraordinary degree by our divine Lord. So much so that he said, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart." And St. Francis de Sales talks about those two virtues of humility and meekness, and how they were blended so beautifully in our Lord's life. And he said we could compare them to the chrism that the bishop used when he gives confirmation. Chrism is made of two substances, olive oil and balsam, which is a sweet-smelling sap from a tree. And those two are mixed together by the bishop when he consecrates the holy oils. And he said, the olive oil is like the virtue of meekness, and the balsam, which sinks to the bottom, is heavier than the oil, is like the virtue of humility, which inclines us to lower ourselves. But they go together. And he goes on to say, humility sets us right with God, and meekness sets us right with our fellow man. By practicing that important virtue of meekness and patience, we then maintain the charity that should exist among, especially, the members of the mystical body of Christ. In order to conceive of the sinfulness of anger, it helps to just picture in our mind an angry person who has no control of his emotions. And Father Hunault paints this picture. He says, "My dear brethren, in order to see how anger is opposed to reason, we need only imagine that we see an angry man giving vent to his feelings. See how disturbed he looks, with his face alternately red and pale and swollen with passion, his eyes darting forth fire, his teeth grinding with rage, his lips compressed, his whole body trembling, his fist clenched, his tongue full of gall, his silence is a continued discordant growl, his speech nothing but invective. Would not one have reason to think that he is completely mad and out of his mind? Or else that he has been transformed into a wild beast?" That is something to think about, that anger, especially uncontrolled anger, leads us to be more like a wild animal than a human being. And to some degree, at least, to abandon reason. How often have we not had to regret that in anger we said something that we would not otherwise have said, or that we acted in a manner that was foolish? It says in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, "Be not quickly angry, for anger rests in the bosom of a fool." And in the book of Proverbs, "As the roaring of a lion, so is the anger of a king." So it makes us again foolish, and even like a wild animal. We must learn to control that emotion. And yes, there are things that bother us, that anger us, but there's no sin As long as we don't harbor that anger, we try to dismiss it. And a good way to deal with this is to walk away from the situation that angers us. And also to think about how foolish it is. Because very often, anger begins with some trifle, some little thing that is a nothing, that leads one to become very angry. The story is told by Seneca, a Roman poet and philosopher and writer, that there was once a banquet given by a very wealthy man named Vedius. And Vedius, during this banquet, was being served by one of his slaves, and the slave accidentally dropped and broke a glass vessel, probably a cup. And Vedius was so angry that he sentenced the slave to death, that he'd be drowned in a fish pond that was there near the banquet hall. Fortunately for the slave, the Emperor Augustus was there. And he was so disgusted with this man, Vedius, with his inability to control his anger, that he freed the slave and then commanded that every glass vessel in the entire house was to be broken, so that the man would never have occasion again to give in to anger due to a glass vessel being broken. I recall reading about Alexander the Great, this great general who could control armies and conquer nations, but couldn't control himself. And he had a problem with anger. And once he became so angry at one of his captains that he picked up a spear and threw it at him. And I believe killed that captain. And he became so contrite and disgusted with himself that it led to an illness which would not leave, and he actually died of that at a relatively young age, I believe about 30 or 33 years of age, because he had fallen into this anger, this fit of rage, and was not able to control himself. And then he felt so grief-stricken at what he did in anger that it led to his death. So anger then is something that must be controlled. How do we control anger? First and foremost, look at the example of our Lord. Look at him in his passion, bearing so patiently with all of these insults and torture, and yet he was perfectly innocent. Oftentimes we can fool ourselves into thinking, well, I have a right to be angry because I'm innocent. You know, sometimes when people begin to argue about something, they will continue to argue because each one thinks he's right. In fact, each one is convinced that he's right. This story is told about St. Robert Bellarmine, who was a cardinal. So he had several servants in his house. And whenever they would argue, he would always tell them they should not argue at all. And one would say, but I'm right. And his answer was, 1 ounce of right, or I'm sorry, 1 ounce of charity is worth more than a wagon load of being right. Just to let it go and allow yourself, allow the other to have his way. Instead of believing yourself to be right, continuing to insist on it and leading to ill will and argument and perhaps even feelings of hatred or grudge that will last for a long period of time. Now, of course, there is such a thing as a justifiable anger. We read that our Lord drove the money changers out of the temple. And when he did so, he said, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was angry. Our Lord also was angry with the scribes and the Pharisees shortly before his passion. In fact, it's, I think, in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew or thereabouts, that our Lord very strongly reprimanded the Pharisees. He called them whited sepulchers, and he used strong words in order to reach them, to try to convert them, one last effort for them to see their hypocrisy, their pride, their envy. And so on that occasion, our Lord used very strong words. But we read in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm number 4, these words, be angry and sin not. And it's very difficult to do. That's why St. Augustine said, I would rather not be angry at all than to be justifiably angry. Because when one thinks he's justified in being angry, that can so easily get out of control. So better not even to be angry at all, and to try to overcome those feelings of anger, of resentment. Once again, going to the example of our Lord, we see him in his passion even bearing patiently with Judas, who was betraying him. Judas went up to our Lord in the garden of Gethsemane and kissed him, the sign to the band of soldiers that was about to arrest him that that was the one they were to take. And he said, Hail, Rabbi. And our Lord merely replied meekly, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Our Lord did not get angry with him. He still yearned for this poor traitorous apostle's conversion and repentance. And of course, throughout his passion, we see the same patience and meekness. And finally, our Lord, hanging from the cross, what are his first words after being crucified? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all of the saints learned that lesson from our Lord. Remember the story of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, who was stoned to death. And as he was expiring, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He forgave them. And we see this with all of the saints, this forgiveness, overcoming anger. We have to be careful not to harbor grudge or lack of forgiveness. Our Lord said, if you come to the altar, meaning you come in church to pray, even in your home you're going to pray. But our Lord said, if you come to the altar to offer your gift, leave first your gift before the altar and go be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Because if you allow anger to remain and it leads to a lack of forgiveness, your prayers are not acceptable to God in that state. Sometimes we think we're justified in harboring a grudge, but we are badly mistaken. We must learn to forgive and to pray for others. Our Lord said even to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute and calumniate you. We see even in the Old Testament a wonderful lesson in this regard from Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob who was sold into slavery by his brothers who were envious of him. And after spending some time in prison, by the providence of God, he rose to such a position of authority and power that he was second only to the Pharaoh. So during famine, his brethren came to buy grain in Egypt. And he concealed himself. He did not let them know that he was their brother. Then they returned and they came back again a second time. And this time he finally revealed that he was their brother. And they began to tremble. They thought, uh-oh. We sold him into slavery, and we were even talking about killing him. Now look at his position of authority. Now he's going to get revenge. But they had no reason to fear. Joseph said to them, by the providence of God, I have risen to this position of influence so that I can help you in this time. He completely forgave them. What a wonderful example from someone even before the time of Christ, who was so virtuous in forgiving. So to forgive others is not only virtuous, but we could say it's something divine. Something that God does is forgives us. And if we want to be forgiven, we also should forgive others. Anger, on the other hand, leads to so many other evils. In a fit of anger, one will say words that he must regret. One will perhaps even give into quarreling or strike another. And sometimes even hatred arises and is nurtured and continues in the heart of the poor soul that cannot control his anger. So this is, again, one of the seven capital sins, and maybe it is your predominant fault. We all know that we have inclinations to each of the seven capital sins. But we should strive to, by examination, to determine which is for us our biggest downfall and then seek to conquer it. conquer impatience, anger, by practicing patience. Pray for the virtue of patience, and especially pray that beautiful prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. We ought to strive to become living copies of Christ, to meditate upon his life, to pray for the grace to overcome anger and all of our faults and passions, and to imitate the beautiful meekness and gentleness of our Lord. Such an attractive virtue, and one that takes tremendous effort, even daily effort. The story is told of St. Francis de Sales, who was a bishop after the Protestant Reformation, Bishop of Geneva, in which much of his diocese was inhabited by heretics who had lost their faith. And yet he was so gentle that he moved many of them and converted many of them by his example, to such a point that a Protestant minister said, I think if Christ were to come back to earth today, he would look just like the Catholic Bishop of Geneva, meaning Francis de Sales. He had become so much a living image of Christ in his meekness and gentleness that even this Protestant observed it and was moved and was edified by that. Let us strive to edify others by our meekness, our gentleness, by the virtue of patience, which takes effort but is worth it, for it makes us truly Christ-like. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.